This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Today, we rebroadcast a call-in show about the challenges involved in getting that little gold star on your driver's license. In studio is Sherry Kajiwara, director of the city's customer services office, and Alvin Onaka, state registrar for the state health department, which keeps all certified records. Joining us by phone from Hilo is Naomi Odell, administrator for the vehicle registration and license division for the Big Island. Welcome to all of you here. Really appreciate your time. You know, the idea for this show came from a listener. Brooke Hedemark is her family's historian, and she recently began getting texts and calls from her aunties asking for help getting copies of their marriage certificate. Now, she suspects that a whole generation of women in the state were being affected by a new federal standard requiring documentation to get a new Gold Star license. Take a listen.
At first, I didn't think much of it. I directed them and where they should go to get a certified copy. And then it was my mom texting me from Kamuela, asking me for her marriage certificate. And that's when I thought, what is going on? She told me that she needed to now have proof that she's changed her name since she got married back in to my father in 1965. I didn't even realize that she had never held a certified copy of her marriage certificate. And so she shared with me that back in the day when they would go down to the church to get married, you were given like a cardstock marriage license or something like that. And it was just something that the priest wrote up on cardstock that said you were married. And so my mom and I guess a lot of my other aunties from, you know, that generation, that's what they have. A bunch of them were actually standing in line at these long lines at the DMV with their little cardstocks that they got from the priest, thinking that was what they were being asked to bring in. So then a neighbor down the street from my mom, my mom found her at the bus stop. And she had the same problem. And the reason she was at the bus stop was because she didn't meet the deadline. And so her license expired. You know, this is really affecting that generation a lot because they never had the certified marriage license to begin with. It's affecting all of us who've ever changed our names.
So that's the genesis for this show, is it was something that a caller had flagged saying, I think there's something going on here. So we just thought, is there something that we could do as a state and as a community to maybe clear up some misconceptions? So, Sherry, let's start with you.
Sure.
Explain what the Gold Star license is
Good
all about.
Good morning, Catherine. Yes, I hear so many issues in that one voicemail that are problematic. So just so everyone knows, the federal government requires you to prove who you are now before you are issued a federal real ID. And the documents that you need to bring in are outlined by the federal government. You need to show who you are, and you need to show that you have a right to be in the United States to apply for federal ID. So one of the things you do need is a birth certificate and a Social Security card. And the names on those two documents need to match. If they don't match, you need to bring in the document that shows why your name changed. And the document most people will bring is a marriage certificate or an adoption paper or a legal name change. Those are the documents that show why your name is different from your birth certificate versus your Social Security card. Now, if you have a passport, we always encourage, especially women who have gone through a name change, to bring in your passport and your Social Security, because those will usually match because you got that as an adult. But if you don't have a valid passport, you're going to have to fall back on your birth certificate. But one thing that I need to make clear is that a church document issued by a priest or through your church process, those are considered ceremonial. They're not legal government documents. So when you got married, you should have applied for a license to marry with your state, and the state registrar would issue the certificate of marriage, which is very different from a ceremonial church document. And I think that's one of the things that is being talked about here.
Right. And then, Alvin, you're the keeper of the records. You're the registrar that sends out all of these. And you were just sharing with us that Your office processes 1,000 requests a day.
Yes, we do. These include certified copies of births, deaths, and marriages. But yes, we have a very high volume of requests.
And what's the snapshot right now? What's the turnaround time if someone wants a certificate?
If you go online and you order your certificate, the average length of time it took last week in processing these. And I looked on Friday, and it was 31 days. So
okay, a month.
Yes.
So if your license is going to expire soon and you don't have all those documents.
Right. For us is, you know, three things. Order online, order early, don't wait to the last minute.
And Sherry, we have this deadline that's looming, right? The federal government says if you want this gold, if you want to be able to use your driver's license to travel next year in October, you've got to have this license.
Right. Well, one thing I want to go back to, Doctor, if you can help clarify for me, when did the state start issuing marriage certificates by the state? Do you remember what year? Because that's a question I'm asked all the time.
You know, we have, I have records. The oldest of records that we have is 1840.
So if someone got married in 1960s, they should be able to get a copy of their marriage certificate from the state and not rely on their church document?
Well, again, not everybody is married in a church. So, yes, we have been issuing marriage licenses. That is, in order to get married in the state of Hawaii, you need to officially apply and get a license to marry. An application.
From the state.
From the state. Then you're vetted, and then a ceremony is performed, and you, by a licensed officiant that is commissioned by the state also, and they will then do a ceremony and will then issue or register that marriage in the state of Hawaii, and then we would issue a certified copy. Now, at the time, a marriage license is at the moment $60. It includes one copy of the certified copy of the marriage. So anyone who has been married in the state of Hawaii would have been mailed a certified copy of the marriage certificate that comes with the application to obtain a marriage.
Or they can get a duplicate if they've lost that by applying.
Right.
So that's a key point, I think, Catherine. We need to make people aware that since the 1800s, the state has been issuing state marriage certificates, and that's what I need for the gold star.
I'm not sure about at the 1800s because it was a ledger
way back when, yes.
Yes,
but it's recorded.
From 1909, it was recorded, one marriage, one certificate. So we have records that are, we would issue a certificate from 1909. There would be a piece of paper that we would be issuing.
And Sherry, as far as Honolulu, since you deal with the largest number of drivers in the state, is this kind of the biggest problem with the marriage certificate and the name change?
That's one of the problems, and I guess it's only for a specific group, and it is usually the older generation, because many of them have not kept track of their birth certificates and their documents. So I do recommend that you can renew your driver license 6 months before expiration. But well before that, if you don't have the documents you need, we recommend that you seek them out now, well ahead of your renewal period. So you do need to make sure you have your state copy of your birth certificate, or get a passport, or get the state-issued certificate of marriage, and get your documents for your residence. That's another one, Catherine, that the older women have a problem. Because if you go home and you ask your mom or your aunties or your next-door neighbor, can you show me two pieces of mail that you have with your name and your address on it? Many of them can't, because the bills, the bank statements, are all in the husband's name.
That's what you're seeing here in Honolulu.
So I would encourage women, tell your mom to just open up a Christmas savings account, put $100 in there, and it's under their name. It can be joint. So if you have utility bills, put both husband and wife on the utility bill, and any one of those can be used for achieving your gold star.
Okay, and Naomi Odell is joining us from the Big Island. What's the snapshot there for Hawaii County?
We encountered the same problems that Honolulu is going through, especially with women and obtaining the correct marriage certificate. People get confused, and we do get a lot of them walking in with the church certificate, which is not acceptable. And the easiest, I agree with Sherry, the easiest document is a U.S. passport.
So if they have that, then they should be good to go.
They should be good to go.
Now, you had also mentioned that Big Island residents use P.O. boxes in our conversation that we had last week. Talk about that.
We do use P.O. boxes. We have a lot of rural communities that don't have mail delivery. So we accept one document with a P.O. box on it and one document with the physical address. It's a big problem here because we also have a lot of people who live off-grid, so they don't have a HELCO bill, they don't have a water bill, and it's just finding the right documents that they can use to prove their address.
So probably people are coming back to the DMV multiple times.
Yes, we do have those.
And Alvin, explain the situation about the P.O. boxes, because you said that you don't really send certified copies to P.O. boxes, correct?
Correct. That is in terms of security, because this is a confidential personal record, and P.O. boxes or drop boxes are, again, it's very difficult to vet who is being able to pick up the mail. So we do not, as a operational policy, send the personal documents to a P.O. box.
So how do we deal with the Big Island?
Well, I thought of many things. We could send, they could order it online, and we could send it to the motor vehicle office, and they could receive it. That would be one. Again, if they did have a personal address, of course we would send it to the personal address.
Or the idea would be send it to the Department of Health office over there as well?
Well, I haven't talked to the Department of Health to do that, but that's an option. But I think that since the document is being required or requested by the Department of Motor Vehicles, that we would be comfortable in sending it to the Department of Motor Vehicles.
So we've got to figure out a way.
You know, Elvin, I had an occasion fairly recent to order my own documents because I had to renew my license, and so I had to order a marriage certificate because I thought I lost one, and I also ordered my daughter's birth certificate, and they both came to my P.O. box.
I see. So that isn't a problem then?
No, we haven't had a problem with customers not being able to get their documents.
Oh, interesting.
Ordered it, yeah. Because I did receive mine.
Right, and that's why I wasn't aware of the problem that was being raised by this program. I was unaware of it, so I didn't know there was a problem. But again, I guess we've been able to adjust it. We use a fairly extensive vetting process, so they must have looked at what your residential address was, and then we would send it to the P.O. box. But again, it is not a standard to be able to send things to a P.O. box. But I guess we adjust to our uniqueness.
If you're just joining the conversation, we're sharing a rebroadcast of a show where we talked about the Gold Star driver's license. Got yours yet? In studio, Sherry Kajiwara, director of the city's customer service office, and Alvin Onaka, state register of the state health department, which keeps all certified records. And joining us by phone from Hilo is Naomi Odell, administrator for the vehicle registration and license division for the Big Island. This is a rebroadcast, so no new calls will be taken. Okay, Lawrence from the Big Island?
So I live on the Big Island, Miloli'i. I have a P.O. box. There is no mail delivery to my street address. So I have a copy, certified copy of my Hawaii birth certificate. I have my original Social Security card, so I guess that takes care of that. But the two pieces of, I guess, mail, and then some of the issues you brought up just today concern me. I have the yellow voter registration card that has my P.O. box where it was mailed to, but also my street address. I assume that's okay as one piece, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then I have several other things that have only my P.O. box. For instance, I have a recent jury summons from Hawaii County sent to my P.O. box. Would that be sufficient?
Yes. We would use your voter registration for your physical address and your jury letter for your P.O. box.
Okay. What about this online application and then whether you will or will not mail it to my P.O. box? How does that work out?
What online application?
The other gentleman just mentioned that I could go down to the DMV and pick up my license because it will be left there.
We don't do that. We would have to mail it to you.
You will mail it to my P.O. box?
We will mail it to your P.O. box, yes. You just need to tell the clerk that you want to use your P.O. box, and it will be mailed to your P.O. box.
Okay. I think that should be allowed because it's a secure facility, you know, right?
Right.
Anyhow, so I guess that clears up my question, so I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you very much for that call. We have another call coming in from Maui. Cleo, what's on your mind?
Yes, aloha. I was born in New York City almost 50 years ago, and I renewed my tri-training, my driver's license, not ahead of time, sad to say. And I was not able to renew my driver's license because I do not have a first name on my birth certificate. The hospital where I was born doesn't exist anymore, and the doctor's not alive anymore, and I cannot get a name correction on my birth certificate in New York City because I do not meet any of the requirements. So finally, I figured out that I have to have my name placed on my birth certificate via petition to the lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. And I have my certified, all my documents except my birth certificate has no first name. And they require that you have it notarized. However, a notary will not notarize any documents if you do not have a valid ID. My driver's license expired in September. And so I am in a quagmire.
Oh, my gosh. I feel for you.
Thank you.
Sherry?
Yeah, so one thing I want to mention is that, again, your birth certificate should be a government-issued certificate, a document. And it really would not matter if the hospital is no longer there. It would not matter if the doctor is no longer there. You're looking for that certificate that's issued by your state. So I would go back to your vital records office in the state that you were born in and get a copy of the government-issued document. So that's one thing. Yes, if there is a problem with your name as far as matching, what we have seen is some people actually, their parents spelt their name one way. For this one lady, her name was Ethel, and the mother wrote it as L-E on the birth certificate, but she always thought it was E-L her whole life. So her Social Security had E-L, and her birth certificate had L-E, and of course they don't match. We weren't able to accept that. And like you, the caller, she had to go through a legal name change through the lieutenant governor's office to correct that. It's important you do that, especially before you retire or retirement benefits or social security benefits, that you clear those things up, but your names have to match.
So really, the problems could come from so many different places. I mean, Alvin, we were talking earlier, you said you had a situation where someone who got married, I think, in during Katrina, had some issues getting some documents. Talk about that.
Well, I had a request to help an individual who was trying to get their state ID, and again, the marriage certificate was required. Again, I only am responsible for marriages that occur in the state of Hawaii, so I am not able to help the individual, but I had said that I would check with my counterpart in Louisiana to see what they're doing. But again, I wanted to address the New York City issue. New York City is one of the 57 jurisdictions in the United States that is separate from the state of New York. So the caller was correct that they were dealing with New York City government. And again, New York City does have their policies with regard to amending a birth certificate that does not have a first name. But again, it would not be going to the state of New York to try to amend that. New York City is responsible for doing it themselves. Now, what my understanding of the caller is that a New York City did register that birth, although it just didn't have a first name on it. And again, it may not be that unusual. My mother-in-law was born in New Jersey, and she did not have a first name at the time.
So interesting.
But then when you're still alive, there's ways that you can amend it. And in Hawaii, you go to the lieutenant governor's change of name decree.
So that advice, doctor, is that they should go to the state. They may have provisions for changing
to the state. The state does not have jurisdiction over the...
No, the state that they were born in. They should go to correct the birth certificate.
She went to New York City, and they were the ones that told her that she did not have a first name, so they would not be able to issue that, and I believe she would have to get a legal change of name to be able to add the name to the New York City birth certificate.
But she would have to go through the state of New York.
City, I said, the city of New York handles birth certificates in their jurisdiction. They're one of the 57 jurisdictions are the 50 states, the District of Columbia, New York City, and the five territories. So that makes up the 57 jurisdictions vital records in the United States.
We have someone writing in, Ken. He said that we brought from the neighbor islands our mother, who has dementia, to come live with us because of her condition. And since we have power of attorney, all her bank accounts and assets are under our names and not hers. Because of this, she has no bank account or utilities under her name. We have birth and marriage certificates, but is it possible to get a Gold Star ID in this situation?
Okay, so for this one, to get the Gold Star, I understand she has her birth certificate. She has her Social Security card, so she can prove those two. The things that she may be missing, and again, if the names don't match on those first two documents, she would need her marriage certificate to show how her name changed. If they have those vital documents, she does need two documents of where she lives. So I think the principal resident documents are what they're questioning. For youths, seniors, and many other conditions where you don't really have your own documents for residence, the person that you live with can sign an affidavit. So especially for a minor, the parent would sign an affidavit that this person lives with me, and they present their two documents. Same thing for like live-in nannies. The person they live with can say, I attest that this person lives in my home, and then the person signing that letter would provide their two resident documents. So he can certainly do that for the mother.
Okay.
Similar for wives, if they don't have those documents in their own names, the husband would sign an affidavit that this person lives with me and bring their document.
This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Today, we're learning about the Gold Star license and how it affects you. This is a rebroadcast, so no new calls will be taken. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break. If you're just joining The Conversation, we are sharing a rebroadcast of a show where we talked about the Gold Star driver's license. Our guests today are Sherry Kajiwara, director of the city's Office of Customer Services, Dr. Alvin Onaka, the state registrar of vital statistics for the State Department of Health, and Naomi Odell, the administrator for the Vehicle Registration and Licensing Division for the County of Hawaii. And Naomi, what's the snapshot there on Hawaii? What else are you seeing?
Well, we have name issues. Address is a big one also. And I believe those are our two biggest issues right now.
And are you seeing the issue of name change or address change? Is it affecting more women out there?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is. And we did have somebody with just one name also come into us, like the customer from Maui, the New York person.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some customers with just one name.
Okay.
And that's just their legal name.
And so what do you advise people if you have a name change question? Who do you go to clear that up?
We refer them to the Lieutenant Governor's office or the Governor's office here on this island acts in place of the Lieutenant Governor's office, and they can get information from them on how to apply for a legal name change.
Okay. All right. We have a few more calls on the line. Pam from Honolulu, you have a tip to share.
Hi. Yeah. Just want to share something that we had with my mom. She wanted to get a state ID, but her driver's license was expired. Her passport was expired. She didn't have a state ID, and she lost her birth certificate. So you need the birth certificate to get any of these things. So what happened was over time, we got a hold of somebody at Department of Health, and we're told that her children could request her birth certificate. So mm-hmm. that solved our problem.
I see. Reverse. That's interesting. That's a good tip. Thank you so much for that, Pam. We have another call on the line, Bradford from Mililani.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to share. I imagine there are a lot of people in my situation. I have a driver's license that was renewed between March 1st, 2014, and January 31st, 2018. It meets all the requirements, ID requirements, but it does not have a gold star. I went online after I heard your promo for the program and found out that I can go online. I don't have to get an appointment and stand in line at the DMV again for that. Provided your information, your address, and your proof of residence and so on are current, and they will be if you didn't change anything and apply during that time. You can just go online and take care of it.
Okay, and Sherry, you're nodding your head.
Yes, and that's one thing that we really wanted to roll out last year to help people, because document requirements started in 2014, but the state made the decision to offer the Gold Star in 2018. You have 4 years of people that have met compliancy but just didn't get the star. So what we did is we did start the ability to request a duplicate online, and that's been about 2 years now. So you don't have to stand in line. If you lose your ID, your wallet gets stolen, you can request a duplicate online. But now you can request a duplicate for the purpose of obtaining the Gold Star. And the conditions are you must be compliant in our system, which means you've already brought in all of your documents. They're scanned, they're in our system. And we only mail it to the address on file. So you cannot request any address change in this process. And that's to avoid fraud or misdirection. Has to go to the address on file. So we do want people to go to license.honolulu.gov, click on the duplicate button, and you can get a driver license or a permit duplicate, either exactly the same copy or for the purpose of getting the star.
And then clarify again, so the Gold Star license, you will need that to get on a plane. If you plan to travel, you need that Gold Star on there, or they could turn you away when you get up to the airport.
Right. So just to let everybody know, this started when 9/11 happened, and the people, the terrorists that were on the plane, they had several, up to like 7 or 8 IDs with different names from different states, which is why the federal government said, you know, it's too easy to get an ID. We need to put stricter rules in place. And that's where all these document requirements came from, Catherine. And they gave the states maybe 10 years to put all of these things in place. And as long as you are from a state that is working toward compliancy, you're good. So Hawaii is one of those states. We are considered a compliant state. So regardless of if you have the STAR or not, all Hawaii licenses are compliant for air travel or any federal purpose. The deadline for all compliance, though, is October 1st, 2020. That was set years ago. Now, by that date, every card has to be a standalone. They'll no longer be these grandfathered states. Every card will be a standalone to go through TSA or to get into federal buildings or meet federal requirements. So by that time, you need the STAR only if you plan to use your card for federal purposes. So October 1st, 2020 is the time that TSA will start looking for the STAR. But if you don't plan to take a trip in 2020 or 2021, you don't really need the STAR. Your ID is fine. You just can't go. You can also use a passport. Go on TSA's website and look at all the documents that they do accept. You don't really need it on your card, but if you want to use your license as a TSA compliant document, you would need the STAR.
Right, and October 2020 is, you know, year and a half away.
Yes.
We have another call on the line. Susan from Honolulu, what's your question?
Yes, I think she might have just answered it, but I'm still not exactly sure. So can you fly with a passport or something else instead of this Gold Star license?
Definitely. If you look on the TSA's website, they do list alternate documents, and a driver license is just one of the accepted documents that's listed on the TSA's website. A valid passport, a military ID, a federal government ID if you work for the federal government, many, many other different types. Your driver license is just one, and by October 1st, 2020, it would need a STAR to meet that compliance.
Oh, so after 2020, you will need the Gold STAR? You can't just use a passport at the airport?
No, after 2020, if you choose to use your license as your compliant document, it'll need the STAR. But at any time, you can use any of those other listed documents.
Oh, okay. Well, that should be made more clear because I don't think it was. My other question is, how about homeless people who don't have an address? Can they get a Gold STAR?
So for people that don't have an address, we work with the service providers. And as long as they are being seen or being serviced by an agency, that agency would give us a letter that says that they are accepting the mail for that person. And then we would use that address on that person's document, and they would pick up their ID at the service provider's address.
So this can get pretty complicated depending on what your situation is. It almost sounds like people should check three websites, the TSA website, the State Health Department website, and then also the county where you plan to get your driver's license. Does that sound about right, Naomi? Would
yes,
that be good
does.
Advice?
It does sound right. I just wanted to make one clarification, though. The online duplicates, they're not offered for the counties. It's only, you can only go online to apply for a duplicate if your license was issued in Honolulu.
Thank you for clarifying that. And I do want to point out that the counties do have their own set of rules, and it is specific to the counties. So yes, Naomi is very correct. Honolulu has done some things that try to make our demand a little more manageable for people, but what we do in Honolulu may not be applicable in other counties. Similar with the P.O. Box, Honolulu will not mail to a P.O. Box unless you bring in a letter from the post office showing that you don't have a physical address, that you are only issued a P.O. Box by the post office. Then we will use that as your mailing address. But without that letter from the post office, we will not use your P.O. Box.
And Alvin, you want to chime in here?
Well, I did obtain my my driver's license prior to...
He has it out. He's showing it to us here.
In 2017. And I don't have a Gold STAR. And I had inquired whether I could get a Gold STAR on it now. And the response that I got was that the documents that I used, they do not have it anymore. So if I were to try to get a Gold STAR now, I would have to bring in the documents that I used. Is that still correct? Because, I mean, again, since I'm the custodian of records and I was born here in Hawaii, I have access to be able to get my birth certificate. But Is it correct that I will have to bring in my documents again because the vendor that you folks use to scan the documents
has changed?
There was a misplacement or a loss of
so
records.
If you look at the date over your photo, what is the date over your photo?
Yeah, 2017.
So that was the date that the card was issued. And there was something in the news in 2017 that there was a problem with the vendor that stored the data, and there was, lack of a better term, like a meltdown, and the data could not be accessed. So we sent letters to all those people that were affected that saying if your information was lost or if you now learn that it is now lost, you can come in and just bring your documents back. And we have a special window. If you let somebody know that you're just there to scan your records, you don't have to stand in line. You just let one of the clerks know that you submitted your records and that you were informed that they no longer had them, so you were instructed to bring them back and we'll take care of you.
That's a whole nother wrinkle.
There are many, many wrinkles. Yes.
Okay, we have another call from the Big Island, Lori from Honokaa. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I have a couple of comments, and I've already been through the process myself. It took me 4 visits to complete the process, and at the same time, those visits could have been probably avoided had I had adequate information to be able to identify what I actually needed to bring. And also, I think that this process wasn't thought through enough in order to catch the catch-22s that people encounter during their lifetimes, which would create a situation where they wouldn't be able to get the STAR driver's license. And I think that any time a federal or state entity creates these types of burdensome requirements, that the documents that are required should be provided by the state for no cost, especially to retired people who are on limited budgets. And I also believe that it's highly discriminatory towards women whose life events create additional steps and barriers to being able to get the documents that they actually need. And that's it. It's mostly just comments on this. And like I said, having been through the process and watching pretty much about every third or fourth person being turned away from the window at the time I was doing it, it was really horrible, especially for the old people. Who 2 of them that I saw, you know, during the times that I was visiting were in tears when they left because they needed to be able to drive.
Thank you for that, Lori.
Can I really quick? Yeah. We know that this is a problem for many people, and it is a federal requirement that we're trying to help people meet. So we did develop a document guide back in 2014. The document guide you can find at license.honolulu.gov. It's interactive, so it lists, do you have any one of these? And you click on it, and it says, well, what is the name? How do you spell it? Then it asks, do you have any one of these? And if you click no, they'll give you other options. But we designed that to try to help people know what they need before they go in. Because yes, if everybody comes in 4 times like you experienced, it really makes it an unbearable experience for everybody. So your success is what we really want to strive for. And we have our information online. We developed the document guide that you can use. We try to do as many radio shows like this one to try to inform people. But unfortunately, I don't have much of a budget to spend to advertise the need. So we go with public radio, we go with free advertisement, we go on our website, and we hope people will be informed for the last 6 years that this has been going on.
And it is a frustrating process, and can I just give a shout out to the staff, the folks that are at all the county DMVs and the state health department who are trying to comply with this federal law and are doing their best, but you know, it's tough for them because they're on the front line.
Can I mention one more thing that I think is important because I went through this? If you've been married more than once, that is an issue for some of our women because you have to show, for example, if your name is Jane Doe and you are born and then you marry Mr. Smith, and your name is now Jane Smith, and then you marry a third time, and you become Jane Lee. Your marriage certificate, when you marry Mr. Lee, will say Jane Smith marries John Lee. Now, we are going to ask you, how did you become Jane Smith? Because your birth certificate says Jane Doe. There's no connection how Jane Doe on your birth certificate became Jane Lee in your second marriage. So guess what? You have to go get your first marriage certificate.
So, Alvin, we'll chime in here. So lots of difficulty then if folks have been married multiple times.
Yes, but again, if they're married in Hawaii, we would have their marriage certificate, and we would order online, and you'll be able to get it.
Yes, so just know that you need it and order it online. That's a great offer.
Yes. The thing that I wanted to bring up that is more complex now, and there's always, complexity here, is my understanding is there was a law that was a bill that became law last week, I believe, that now allows individuals to declare any middle or last name after marriage. So there may be a difficulty in terms of a paper trail to link that. But again, that's all you need to do is, if you got married here, order it online, and we'll be able to provide you with a marriage certificate. But please order it early so that we can meet the demand.
Right.
Marriage is the most frequent vital event that occurs. It is one of our more complex. The majority of people who get married in Hawaii are not residents of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So we have an international or national clientele that's getting married. It increases the complexity, but again, this is the way it is, and we are trying to do our best to meet the demand for our vital records.
We have a call coming in from the Big Island. Carrie from Kau, you have a question?
Yeah. I'm one of the people who is 2014 compliant and yet don't have a gold star. And I also have an expiring passport, and those have gone up a lot in price. So to just say, oh, use a passport, not as easy. But since I still have it, I'm really jealous of Honolulu people who can just go online. Do we still have to go through the whole compliant, or does Hawaii Island, as Honolulu does, do they have all of our records that we submitted the first time on record, or do we still have to bring all of those records back?
Naomi?
We normally ask that you bring all your records back just in case we can't get on our system, or in case you're one of those people that the information is unretrievable. You can also, I know you don't want to renew your passport, but they also issue what they call a passport card, which is cheaper than the regular passport, and you can also use that to prove your name.
And what if your passport is about to expire? How does that work? Does that affect anything?
We would still use it, because the day you come in, as long as it's valid, you can use it.
Okay. We have another question that was emailed. Will we have a problem if some of our documents just have a middle initial and some have the whole middle name?
So middle initials don't matter. First and last name matter. The only time a middle initial will be a problem is if it conflicts. So if you have first name, last name without a middle initial and the second document has one, that's fine. But if it is Ralph T. Black on one and Ralph R. Black on the other, then it would be questioned.
Okay. I have another question that was written in from Caitlin. She's from the Big Island. She says she doesn't have a Social Security card, birth certificate, or valid government ID. She can't get a Social Security card without a valid ID and birth certificate, or a birth certificate without, you know, one of those. And so she has no idea what to do, and she needs help and advice. She can't order her birth certificate online because she doesn't have the proper ID, I guess, in Florida, where she was born. So what does she do? Anybody want to take this?
She may be able to, earlier, I'm not sure if it was Sherry that said it or Elvin, but a relative may be able to obtain a birth certificate for her, a parent, a sister or brother, using their identifiable document.
Yes, from what I understand, Naomi's correct. A family member or anyone who has vested interest in the individual can request a copy of a vital statistic record, and they can use that. I don't know how, well, I guess once they get that, then they can apply for a passport or an ID.
Start the process.
Yes, if you don't have anything, that can be very problematic.
Again, with regard to vital records, there are 57 jurisdictions that have 57 different rules and regulations, so I'm not sure exactly to give advice, especially when it's a Florida birth certificate that she's trying to get. I'm not sure.
Okay, we have a shy caller who left a note. He's disturbed that there's all these requirements for citizens, but government isn't ready to provide the documents that you need. So what's the point? He's frustrated. He says, an escapee got onto an airplane twice with fake docs. That's not acceptable. Frustrated caller. You know, what do you tell people? Or, you know, what happens in the case of somebody that isn't a U.S. citizen? You know, what do you tell people in that case, Sherry?
Well, again, on our document, on license.hanlu.gov, there is a list of documents for citizens and non-citizens. And there are a whole list of requirements that non-citizens are required to produce as well. They have to prove that they have the right to be in the United States. There are visas. There are people on they're here for temporary student visas. They're on work visas or diplomats. There are many different documents that are required if you are a non-citizen. But I think if you are a citizen, it's pretty straightforward. These are documents that you should have. These are basic identity documents that everyone should keep in their safe deposit box or somewhere safe in their home. And if you don't have them, you really should get them because you will need them at some point in your life.
And Naomi, what's the situation on the Big Island as far as legal residents, legal citizens?
Well, the state has a mechanism where if you don't want to prove lawful status or if you don't want to give us your Social Security number, you are able to apply for a limited purpose driver's license. And what the limited purpose license does is it allows you to continue driving, but you cannot use it for identification purposes, and you cannot use it to board aircrafts, but you can still continue to drive. And that, we suggest a lot of people do that when they're having difficulties with their documents, especially the identifiable documents. That way, they're still able to drive legally. And when they get their documents, they can come back in and apply for a duplicate Real ID compliant card.
Okay, we had that one situation with the caller from Kamala saying the mother's neighbor was sitting at the bus stop and she didn't get her license.
Right.
Because she didn't have all the documents. But you're saying you could get, in some instances, a limited license.
A limited purpose,
right.
Yes.
Naomi's correct. The state did decide to offer a limited purpose driver license for the purpose of driving only. It's not an ID card, and it doesn't give you any federal benefits or compliancy. And we did find that for many people, there was no such product for a state ID. So there is a law right now going through the legislature. It's bill, I think it's 660, and that bill will create a non-compliant state ID. So when you get that, that means you have not been able to provide Social Security proof, and it cannot be used for federal purposes, but it can be used as a local ID.
Okay, but man, this is complicated. I mean, there really are so many different issues depending on a person's situation.
That is correct.
What's maybe the most not really bizarre thing, but have you had any cases where you've been kind of stumped about how to get around and, you know, what's the workaround?
I had a very interesting case, and many of you heard it on the news. There was a gentleman who was here. He is an Army veteran. longtime Hawaii resident, and he was born, I don't remember in what state.
Pennsylvania.
He did not have a birth certificate because his mother never registered his birth because he was born in the backwoods somewhere. We could not help him with that because he wasn't born here, but he went back to his state, and he had to work with them. He was able to provide school records, church records, to prove that he was in that state, and they issued him an approximate birth date record. That was his birth certificate.
Okay, well, we've run out of time, and we do thank our guest, Naomi Odell, Administrator for the Vehicle Registration and Licensing Division for Hawaii County, Dr. Alvin Onaka, State Registrar of Vital Statistics at the Department of Health, and Sherry Kajiwara, Director of the City's Customer Services Office. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. We weren't taking any new calls today, but you can contact the Talkback line and leave us your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of the conversation.